Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Hi, who's excited about getting some uphill habits? Yeah, awesome. Very good. Very good. I just want to welcome you if you're joining us as a guest today. Thanks for being here. We're glad you're here. And please, as Lee mentioned, just take a moment and let us know you are here by filling out that connection card. And man, what a great, great happy new year to you. And maybe just turn to your neighbor and tell them happy new year. Yeah, I know it's kind of past, it's a week later and all that stuff, but it's still a happy new year. When we look back over the holiday season for us as a church, it was just an incredible season for us. We got to have our very first ever Christmas Eve service. Some of you were here for that, but you invited a lot of friends for that, and it was so fun. In fact, because it was our first, we can say it was record attendance, okay? So you'll get that. No. But then the next day, we went out to Community First. Lee mentioned that. We went out to Community First, and we did have an actual record attendance at that Christmas Eve service. And that was super fun. And you guys served and gave of your time and energy. And it was so rewarding just to hear. I don't know if you remember hearing if you were there, you got to hear a testimony of one of the residents, and it was just incredibly powerful. So anyway, here we are in the first week of the new year, gathered together as a church family, and I want just to encourage you to take out that worship guide that you received when you came in. There's a place you can take notes on the back, and you might want to take some notes today, because I think this will be very, very helpful to you and practical for you. God spoke to me through a guy named John Maxwell. Well, about 2 years ago, this phrase, and I want you to hear it and know that I want this to kind of sink into your heart as well. And that's the phrase, everything in life worthwhile is uphill. Why don't you say that together with me? Everything in life worthwhile is uphill. That's the truth. I think it was Aristotle who said that we are what we repeatedly do. And those things that we repeatedly do ultimately form the habits that we have in our lives that shape who we are. And here's the thesis of this entire series. The thesis of this series is most of us, if it's true, most of us have uphill hopes, but we have downhill habits. And over the next 4 weeks, we know that we don't have many uphill habits, but we're going to try to establish some. We're going to try to take that downhill habit trajectory and flip it to uphill habits so that we can move in the right direction toward achieving our hopes and our dreams. Now, here's what I believe to be true. These are habits that will help every other area of your life get better. There was an author a couple of years ago, his name's Charles Duhigg. He wrote a book called The Power of Habit. And in that book, he talks about how there are some habits in our lives that don't impact the trajectory of our lives. Like, for instance, if we brush our teeth or not, well, I guess that would impact us. But he talks about some habits that are called keystone habits that actually end up making every other part of our life better. They impact our lives to a greater degree. And one of the habits he talks about is exercise. He says exercise has multiple ripple effects into our life. If we exercise, then we want to eat better. And then if we eat better, we'll feel better. And someone joked with me earlier this morning and said, I don't exercise so that I can eat better. I exercise so that I can eat bad. You know, like I can eat a McDonald's burger. And I don't know if maybe that's you. Maybe you exercise so that you can't eat bad. I'm not sure. But the most people find that when they exercise, they actually end up feeling better, and they overall in life go through this cycle of eating better as well. Here's what I think. I think that we're going to have a little mind shift, because I think that oftentimes we've been stuck in our rut and doing these habits over and over again for so long that we almost kind of run out of hope. Like, I just can't change. I don't think that this is possible for me. I don't know that I'll ever be able to achieve what I dreamed of at one time. But what I want to encourage you with is that you can. And I believe that you're gonna need three things to achieve this uphill habits. And here's what I want to invite you to. I want to invite you to make a commitment to be here every week of this series, 4 weeks in a row, every week, that you will begin to apply what we teach about here on Sundays, and that you'll be here for every one of these weeks. I believe I can make a commitment to you that your life will be better as a result of it. In fact, I would go a step further and make a little bit bigger ask, and that bigger ask is that you would make a commitment for a solid year to be involved and engage and serve and give and do the things that we're going to talk about in this series. And at the end of the year, I promise you, I can guarantee that your life will simply be better. Now, I think that that's true. And here's what you're going to need to go on this journey with me over the next 4 weeks. I think, one, you're going to need hope for the future. Hope for the future. The reality is, hope is really important. And some of you say, I hope, I hope, I hope. But hope is not a strategy. So we're going to get to the strategy part. But when we talk about this idea, hope is important because some of you have lost hope. Some of you feel like that I just can't do this again. I can't do that again. Whatever, I can't have that relationship repeat itself again. There are some of us in this room who have lost hope. And then there are others of you, when I look around the room, I know, I see, and I hear the stories of the ways God's worked in your life. And it's that kind of story that gives us hope, to know that God can do the same thing in my life that he's done in other people's lives. Now, here's what Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says. He says this, he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God promises that. He wants that for us. He wants that for you. And so hope for the future is something I think you'll have to bring to the table. For some of us, the next thing we'll have to bring is repentance from the past. Repentance from the past. Maybe you're familiar with the book that talks about the five chapters of everyone's life. If you're from recovery circles, you might recognize this. Chapter one is, I walked down a path, there was a hole, and I fell in it. Chapter two, I walked down a path, there was a hole, I fell in it. It was really hard to get out of that hole the second time. Chapter 3, I walked down a path, I fell in the hole, and it was really, really, really hard to get out that next time. Next time, I walked down the path, I saw the hole, and I started to try to go around the hole, but I slipped and I fell in, and it was really hard to get out. Chapter 5, I walked down the path, I saw the hole, and I turned around and went down another path. That is what repentance is. It's turning away from that thing that's tripped you up over and over and over again to help to keep you from achieving what God wants you to become and what God has for you. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Like, I'm a little frustrated. I haven't quite got to the goal of what I wanted to get to. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I'm going to leave that stuff behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for that thing that God's called me to. That's the uphill journey. Begins with maybe some hope for the future, maybe repentance from the past. And then here's what it's going to take. It's going to take a formation of some uphill habits. And that's what we're here to do today. Now, this is going to require a little bit of work on your part. It's going to require a little bit of work on my part in order to achieve these uphill habits. And I just want you to know the work is worth it. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He says, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. God, when you work, God comes alongside you and he helps you and he wants to help you form these uphill habits. And so without further ado, as we talked about habits like Charles Duhigg talks about and the power of habit, keystone habits, habits that make your life, every other area of your life better, we're going to talk about some of those habits in this series. And the first habit that we're going to talk about is to focus on what I do first. To focus on what I do first. Because the reality is, I can tell a whole lot about a person by what they do first, by what they put in their body first, by what they put in their mind first, by what they do with their body first. I can tell a whole lot about a person by how much money they, or what they spend their money on first. All of those things, the principle of first is thorough throughout the scripture, where God says over and over again, what you put first matters. What you put first controls the trajectory of your life every other day, every other moment of every day. So what our number one habit is to focus on what we do first. And here's what I would say. There's three ways we can do this. And the first way we can do this is to put God first. To put God first. Now, you're at church, and so that's kind of a duh. Jeremy's going to say, yeah, this is what we should do. We should put God first. But here's what I want to challenge you with is this thought. If God isn't first in your life, then he isn't in the best place in your life. Another way of saying this, God on your list, but not at the top of your list, will eventually not be on your list. And so the scripture tells us from the very beginning, way back in the book of Exodus, when God's given the Ten Commandments, he says, here's what you need to know. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I shouldn't be number two or number three on your list. I want to be number one on your list. John 3:16, God models this idea of giving his first and giving his best when he gave his son, Jesus, so that we could all be forgiven of our sin. The scripture tells us God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, his firstborn son, so that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but would have everlasting life. It's eternal life that comes from God giving us his first. Giving us his best. How much more should we give our first and our best to him? Here's what Matthew 6:33 says. Jesus talks about this principle over and over again. He says, after talking about like, what are you going to wear and what are you going to eat and how are you going to pay your bills and do all that stuff? Jesus says, hey, just so you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things, his righteousness. And if you do that, then what's going to happen? All this other stuff is going to take care of itself. All these things will take care of themselves if we will put God first. Now, here's an important thing to know, that Christianity is all about prioritizing God to the top of the list. And if we will put God first, then I believe that it will make every other part of our life better. Doesn't necessarily make it easier, but it will make it better. Now, here's the second way I believe that we can practice this habit of putting first things first, and that is to give God the first of everything. To give God the first of everything. Now, I'll just say that a lot of people use this principle out of context, okay? I don't know if it's out of context. I think it's probably good motive, at least at the heart of it. But I think a lot of times churches, specifically pastors like me, they'll say things like, give God the first of everything because they need something from you. And what I'm saying is I don't need something from you, but I want something for you. And that is, if you will begin to give God the first of everything, I believe that God will take care of the rest. We give God first in everything. Here's what Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Some of you have heard us talk about a tithe before. It simply means a tenth. And here's what the scripture says. A tithe of everything. If you have a Bible, you want to circle that word, everything. Everything usually in the ancient language means everything. It's our thoughts. It's our time. It's our treasure. It's all of these things. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, that was their primary agricultural system for economy. So he's talking about the things that mattered to them. Belongs the first, a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Another passage in the Old Testament says what the purpose of this whole thing of tithing is. And it says the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Jesus said it this way. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He knows where you invest your resources, you invest your time, you invest your thoughts, that your heart is going to follow. And we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. Now, there's a few things I think that's important to note. There are a few things that I think are super practical that we all can put into our lives, and we can begin to think about how to give God the first of everything. And the first way is to give God the first of my year. To give God the first of my year. Here's what I know to be true. My tendency is I'm prone to drift and wander and prone to drift towards my plans and my thoughts instead of God's plans and God's thoughts. And so here at the beginning of every year as a church, since the very beginning, we have set aside 21 days of prayer where we say, God, we can't do this on our own. This is your year. We want to follow you with our whole heart for the whole year. And so we declare God is first in this season of 21 days of prayer because we know our limitations. We know that we can't do it on our own. Now, we also do something in January that is a little bit of a stretch for people, and that is we participate in prayer and fasting. And there are a lot of different ways you can fast, and we don't prescribe any one particular way as more spiritual than another. We simply put out the options. You can check all that information out on our website. You can go to the events tab and then click on the 21 days prayer page, and you can find some resources there for you. Also on our Facebook family, CLT Facebook group, I posted a little resource there as well that has been incredibly helpful for me. But just as a way for me to kind of highlight for you, if you've never heard of fasting or this is just all new to you, this is kind of a 50,000 foot view. I'll take about a minute to talk about it. Four ways. First way is to do a complete fast. That's water or juice, like where you just don't do any food at all. And you can do that. I don't recommend that if this is your first time to ever fast, but might be at least for those who have fasted before, something that you could do. The second one is a selective fast, and a selective fast is more of like, I'm going to do without these certain things. I'm going to go without. Some people do something called a Daniel fast, and that's going without sweets and meat and dairy for 21 days. And so that's kind of a selective fast. Or maybe it's, I'm going to go without sweets. We were talking with our kids about all the different types of fast and what they might give up during this season. But really something that would push them to say, I'm going to depend on God. I'm going to not trust my own self, and I'm going to depend on God for this need in my life. The next one is a partial fast, and that's kind of like what the Jewish calendar does, where they go sun up to sundown and they feast at the end of the day. Or maybe for you, partial fast is like, I'm going to miss breakfast, or I'm going to miss lunch, or I'm going to miss dinner, whatever that partial fast is for you. And then finally, the last one, and this is kind of just an all category, and this is a soul fast. And that would be like for you to give up like some type of social media. And for some of you, like, that would be tough. Like, I want that Instagram. I need that Facebook. Give me some more likes. I need that. I need that. I need that. And you would just transition your time to saying, no, I need the Lord. And instead of checking Instagram 50 times a day, I'm gonna pray 50 times a day. And I'm going to say, God, I need your help because this is an issue. It's taking over my life. So soul fast, not sure what that is for you. I've always wanted to do like a technology fast where like literally I ride my bike everywhere and don't, but I don't think that's possible. So anyway, that's the first of our year, just saying, God, we give you the first, and we invite you to go on this journey with us over the next 21 days. We have some, as I said, resources available to you, and we believe that'll bless your year. The next one is the first of our month. And that is really giving God the first of our month. It involves looking at our schedule and our budget. Our schedule and our budget. Here's what we want to do in the first of our month. We want to look and see, is God in our month at all? Like, do we have God in it? And if he's not in it, then how can he be in it? And then with our schedule, we want to look at, is our family going to have some time together? Or are we running and busy and crazy all the time so much that we haven't had dinner together in a month? So we want to make sure we schedule those times and put God first, make sure our family has time together. And then budgeting. Ashley and I, with our budget, we sit down. Some budgeting is a bad word for some people. I realize that. But we budget every month, and we give every dollar a name. That's all that budgeting means. We just assign every dollar a place to go before the month begins. And one of the ways we honor God is through tithing to the church at Lake Travis. And we believe that that's such an important principle for our lives, and it blesses our lives more than it blesses this church. And so we're grateful for the opportunity to prioritize God at the first of our month. Then we can give God the first of our week as well. The first of our week, and good job, guys. You've done that already here today. At least you've begun that process of saying, God, we want you to be the first in the first month of the first year, in the first part of our week. Did you know that the Sabbath moved from a Saturday Sabbath to a Sunday Sabbath so that believers weren't ending their week with God, but that they were beginning their week with God? And that's the point of gathering together in worship together on Sundays, so that we remember who God is and we remember that we're not him. That's the weekly challenge for us. And here's what I believe, is that we will be able to accomplish more in 6 days with God in it than we could do in 7 without him in it. And I believe that you'll be more productive if you will make this Sabbath, this worship time, a priority, and that you'll be here. As I said before, I want to invite you to give us the year. Give us 52 Sundays. It's not that much. It's not that overwhelming. But give us a year and tell us at the end of the year if your life is not better. And I don't know. I can't give you anything. But I'm willing to bet that your life is going to be better as a result of it. And then finally, the first of my day. The first of my day. So we have the first of my year, the first of my month, the first of my week, and the first of my day. Every day, what would it look like to give God the first? The first thought in your mind. It's not about what I've got to do today, but God, thank you for this day. What would it look like to give God the first words of your day? Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you that I woke up today. Thank you, God, for who you are. What would it look like just to give him the first? And here's what I recommend, and I think it's just a super practical way to remember to put God first, is to take the first 5 minutes of your day, and you may have to wake up and do all that, I get that, but when you want to put God first, just take 15 minutes and put God first by this practice of read God's word for 5 minutes, listen to a song usually about 5 minutes, and then respond for about 5 minutes. Just talk to God about what you heard from God's word, what you heard from the song that you listened to, a worship song, and then what you feel like saying to God as a result of those things. So just 15 minutes, 5 minutes with God's word, 5 minutes in a song, and 5 minutes reflecting on that time. Now, here's what I know to be true. Your life will be better as a result of this. We're talking about uphill habits. It'll take some work. It'll take some time and some energy for you to do this if you don't already do it. For those who already do this in their lives, they know that I'm telling the truth, that everything about their life is better when they spend time and make God first in their life. I tell people all the time, I'm a jerk without Jesus first thing in the morning. It's the truth. This is not going to be easy, but it is an uphill habit that will bless your life. Now, here's a couple of things I want to make you aware of. First is, there are literally thousands of churches that participate in 21 days of prayer and fasting every January, just like we do. And one of the churches that was kind of the catalyst for getting that started was a church out of Birmingham, Alabama called Church of the Highlands. And Church of the Highlands is an awesome church. They actually helped get us started years ago. And they have a 6 a.m. Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., 1 hour long prayer service that they have live online. So you can go to churchofthehighlands.com at 6 a.m. That's what I'll be doing, and I'll join in with them. And it's so cool. They'll have a couple of worship songs, and it's amazing. You'll be blown away. Just get on and experience it at least once during this 21 days because it's awesome. They're literally thousands of people at 6 a.m. I don't know how in the world they do it, but they get up and they go and they're there and they have their full worship band and it's awesome. At 6 a.m. they go through this whole deal of worship, and then they have a devotional, and then they break out and they pray, and they give you resources to do that as well. So check it out, Church of the Highlands, one morning, 6 to 7 a.m. And then when I'm fasting, I don't know about you, but I need constant nourishment for my soul, because I know that what I would nourish my soul or myself with normally being food, I'm not going to have that for this season. So how do I do that? I have to nourish myself spiritually. And so every day at noon, we are going to have a live Facebook devotional and prayer time led by many folks from our church. And so we encourage you, if you are able to log on to Facebook and check out that live devotional. It'll be posted there every week or every day for it'll stay there. So you'll be able to look at it. Even if you don't look at it at noon, you can check it out maybe around the dinner time or whatever. So here's the thing. And this is the last point of this habit of putting first things first, is that if you will put God first, you can expect God to bless the rest. You can expect God to bless the rest. When we give God first, He multiplies things in our life. I even experienced it this morning already, where I just felt like we had so much time all morning. Maybe it was because I hadn't eaten anything. I'm not sure. But it just felt like, oh my goodness. But I just think, is God multiplying the time that I'm giving to Him and devoting to Him? Here's what the book of Proverbs says. It says, you know this verse, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. But also, it goes on, the context of that is to honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. It's a promise from God. If you give Him the first, He's going to take care of the rest. He's going to bless the rest, and you're going to see it multiplied in every area of your life. I remember the first time in the banking come, the first time that I was fasting, I had heard about this idea. I had just come to know Christ, and I just became a believer about 3 months before. And somebody at my church was talking about prayer and fasting, and so I was like, oh, I'll try that. And so I thought the best way to do that, and I still believe this to be true, the best way to do that is to start the fast on a Sunday morning, because then I'm at least at church during that time. I'm thinking about the Lord and really focused on Him. But then I went home, and I was 18 years old, and I was living with my family at home still. And I went home, and I began to pray. And I remember just getting on my knees in my bedroom there, and I was just praying and praying and praying. And when I'd run out of things to pray, I would sing. Maybe that's a practice that you need to apply to your life, that you just begin to learn how to worship God by singing. And then after I'd sing a little while, I'd pray some more. And then as I prayed some more, I got this incredible vision from God when I was praying. And it was a vision of a church full of people who were passionately worshiping Him, who loved one another well, and who wanted to make a difference in their world by loving other people. And I believe that this church, the church at Lake Travis, is a result of that first fast way back in 1995 that God planted a seed in my heart to see the life-giving message of Jesus shared with a church family, and to impact a community and impact a city and to ultimately impact a state and eventually the nation and maybe even the world as a result of putting God first in the form of prayer and fasting. So I want to invite you right where you are just to bow your heads. And if you're here today and you would say, Jeremy, I know that I need to put God first in my life. And I want to do that. I want to declare today that Jesus is first. If you're here and you would say, that's me, Jeremy, I just want to put Him first at the beginning of this year, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? Yeah. Put your hands down. Would you, right where you are, just open your palms facing towards heaven as a sign of surrender, say, God, here I am. I declare today that You are first in my life this first weekend of this new year. You're first. You're at the top of the list. I want You to have my very best. In Jesus' name. For others of you who are here, you may say, Jesus isn't even on the list. And maybe for you today, the step of faith would be to put Him on the list. And would you simply pray with me and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lead me, be my leader, and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I want to turn and follow You for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank You that You have done a great work here today, and thank You for the reminder to put You first. And I thank You that if we will do that, that Your word promises us that You will make every other part of our life better. And we live pretty good lives out here in Lake Travis. But at the same time, God, I know that our lives can be even better. Our relationships can be better. Our finances can be better. Our friendships can be better. Every area of our life, our businesses can be better as a result of us putting you first. And so we declare today that you are first, God. You're first in this church. You're number one, Lord. And we give you praise because you are great. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.